Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour with your host, Jenny Seek.
Hi, folks. This is Jenny Seek, and this is your weekly forum for connecting with your intuitive process, all things metaphysical, and honoring and recognizing your soul self. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy the ride.
Hi there, everybody. Thanks for choosing to spend your Tuesday evening with us. This is Inner Voice Intuitive Hour. For folks who aren't familiar with the show, this is a show that is all about depth psychology, which has to do with archetypes, which has to do with understanding the stories that we're telling in our life and telling them with awareness and with respect and with refinement and with love. So that means that if you are someone out there and you're fulfilling a role that no longer feeds you or serves you. Sometimes our culture tells us to do this. Sometimes our families of origin tell us to do this. This is about living your life with authenticity. So if you're interested in doing that and telling stories that hold meaning for you and the people around you in your community, this is a great place for you to be. Also, this is also about connecting with your intuition, connecting with your inner voice and a sense of what your deeper authentic self is asking you to do in the world. So if those issues are pertinent to you, then you're in the right place. I encourage you to find the place where it says follow on a show page, and that way your shiny face will show up and we'll know that you're listening to the show, and you'll receive updates on the shows that are on with Insights Radio. There's some great stuff on here. So I'm so happy that you're listening this evening, and I hope that this resonates for you. I want to tell you a little bit about what's coming up on future shows, and then we'll get our guest on. Next week, October 30th, right around Halloween or Samhain, we will be having Gary Herron on. Gary Herron is a practicing Wiccan, and he's going to shed some light on what it is to be a Wiccan, what it is to be a witch, and there's a difference between the two. And he's going to talk about how that practice has inspired him in his life. So that should be a really, really fun show. He also is a shamanic practitioner as well. And I recently had his partner on talking about astrology, Samantha Herron, and we had just a blast. So that should be a really, really good show. And then, let's see, I am still working on guests for the weeks in between, but I do want to let you know that on November 13th, Ellen Siegel will be on. Ellen Siegel is a very heart-centered psychotherapist in the Columbus area, and she has kind of stepped out of the box. Inner Voice Intuitive, the company that I own, also has done that and kind of combined the intuitive fields and following your intuition, following a more holistic pathway with traditional psychotherapy. So she does that for folks, and she's just written a wonderful book about heart-centered living and about being happy unconditionally. So she'll be joining us to talk about her book on November 13th, and I'm really excited to have her on. Now I'm going to see if our guest this evening is on. Phil, are you there?
I am here. Yes, I am.
Awesome. Very cool. It's nice to talk to you this evening. I'm glad that you were able to figure it out and get on and all of that. And thanks so much for accepting the invitation to be on tonight.
It was great.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, I just wanted to kind of ask, you sent me a pretty extensive bio, and I did get it all up there. I don't know if you saw, I sent you back a note saying, I don't know if I can get all this on here, but I did. So I want to just kind of introduce you to the listening audience and what it is you do, what your journey has been about. I know that you have kind of stepped off of or onto a more refined and more authentic path for yourself. And I know that you had gone to school for mathematics at OSU and then left pretty abruptly to follow your spiritual calling. So could you talk a little bit more about what that journey was like for you at that point in your life?
Well, when I got my degree in mathematics, and right after I graduated, I started awakening, actually sort of like a few months before I had my first spiritual awakening, where I was taken to a room like the overhang of six handball courts, where I could see people dancing, people doing art, music, creating, and I was basically being shown that I needed to do that myself, that I needed to get involved in the arts because I was too left-brained with all the mathematics and science.
And when you say that you had that experience, did you have it in a dream time? Did you have a vision? How did that show up for yourself?
It was an awakening. It was a realization. But
awesome.
At the time, all I picked up at the time was that I knew what I needed to do to get myself out of the hole that I had dug for myself. But I only a couple years later, when I looked back at it, did I see that these spiritual beings took me out of my body and showed me that. See, a lot of times we don't know in the moment, but later on, after years, we see it a little bit more clearly what really happened.
Right, and I think sometimes along with that comes some fear about our journey, and then a lot of times, you're right, we have this realization, this awareness that it was for a higher purpose all along, and we're able to put together the pieces in a way that we weren't able to maybe when it happened to us.
Well, being sort of like more or less a Jewish atheist at the time, you know, I don't think I would have, I don't think I could have remembered them taking me out of my body and showing me this. I don't think that would have made any sense. And
right.
So therefore, I could only, you know, perceive what I, you know, the fact that it was important that I get involved in the arts and start feeling more.
Very cool, very cool. So you really, really listened and opened up your intuitive voice and listened to what you were being led to do. That's so wonderful. I think often people get that call and they don't listen. You know, they shut down, and then sometimes in later life they get more bitter or more frustrated because they feel like they're supposed to do this other thing and they haven't listened to their inner voice. So it's so wonderful that you listened and that you opened up to,
you know,
to what you
Everyone, yeah. Like, it's like getting the message to go to the bathroom. It's, you know, you get the first call, and then you get the second call. If you don't listen, you get constipated, so eventually you learn it's not worth not listening.
Right. That's a really apt metaphor. Especially considering what you do at your store, which has a lot to do with, you know, the spiritual, but it also has a lot to do with the body. So it makes sense.
Colon cleansing is very, very important. And we have some new products at our house, at our store, called Oxy Super Flush and Oxy Lift, that are just dynamic. And they were designed by Ed McCabe, who is the he's called Mr. Oxygen because he wrote the book in 1988, Oxygen Therapies, and then his new book, Flood Your Body with Oxygen. And he was at the show in New York City with us at the New Life Expo this last weekend, yesterday, the day or Friday, Saturday, Sunday. He was helping us at our booth, and we sold 60 sets of those two products there.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Along with about 14 saunas.
Awesome. Very, very cool. We'll get there, but I don't want to jump over your journey. So how is it that you opened up the store and you started dealing with the public and finding out about all these unique products that you carry? And how did that part of your journey manifest, Phil?
Well, after my second or third or fourth major awakening, depending on what you call it, I sort of met a yogi on OSU campus near the library. And he showed me a technique, and basically my kundalini was opened prematurely. I had to more or less become a vegetarian within a week. And I had to get into fasting and become a fruitarian, not because, it's a cool thing to do, but maintain my own sanity.
Very cool.
Because I didn't have a choice. I mean, my gosh, I had a sort of like, I don't know how to say this, but I felt like I had a rod about an inch in diameter going through my third eye, and I could, you know, I could stop bugs in their tracks, or in the case of the chameleon, a chameleon in Louisiana and New Orleans wouldn't move until I took my attention off of it.
Oh my gosh! Wow!
You know, that was just part of my journey. It's you know, I since learned there's a difference between spiritual, just being an open vehicle for spirituality, for the spiritual essence to come through me, and I'll call it, for lack of a better word, psychic energy, you know,
Uh-huh.
which you can you have a say on.
Right. So, like, psychic energy is something that you kind of work with, but this just kind of overtook you. Am I hearing you right? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, when I'm an open vehicle for spirit, I don't know that necessarily. I've had people come to me 10 years, 20 years later. So I was just standing there, and they were looking at me, and they had a spiritual epiphany or a realization. And so, you know, when I try to do things on my own, then I get in the way. You know, I cannot predict baseball games, the scores or the winner when I'm attached. But if I'm not attached, I can predict people's age. I can tell people how old they are. That happens all the time. Uh-huh. But as long as I care, then I can't.
Yeah, exactly. I think that happens for a lot of people. I think our ego gets in the way and then kind of leads us around and makes it so that it isn't such a clear channel. And I think that's the opportunity is to be in that balance where, you know, you're getting more clarity and more awareness. So the ego doesn't lead. It just kind of helps with the authentic self, the development of the authentic self, but you kind of have to temper it with allowing the universe to just lead you toward what it is you're supposed to find next.
And yes, so, when I'm willing for those things that I want to happen, when I'm willing for it to not happen, then I'm then I'm free.
Uh-huh,
and then more than likely they happen. But if I'm not willing for it not to happen, I make it not happen. I have to be willing.
Yeah.
You know, that's the detachment that the great masters of detachment talk about.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, we have so many models for attachment in our life, in our regular experience, you know, in traditional jobs, in our families, in our culture, to be, and I was talking about it at the very beginning of the show, to be really, really attached to stories that may not serve us. And
right, they may have served us in the past.
Exactly. They may have served us in the past, and we've outgrown them, and it's our job to figure out and to let go and to allow another season of our life to come in. And
sometimes I say it's our job not to figure out. It's our job to listen instead of get the mind involved.
Exactly. Absolutely. And it's so interesting to hear your story because I'm sure in a field like mathematics, it would run the risk of being all mind and could be very heady. But then I would think of the more pure application of it could be very spiritual too.
Well, yeah, I like the book Steppenwolf where Hermann Hesse talks about the aloof, detached intellectual. And there's a night and day difference between imagine, you know, when you try to get distance and perspective, you know, we tend to want to get to the top of the ceiling to look down at the situation when in reality we're going sort of like in the wrong direction, that the key is to get involved in the moment. And then
Absolutely.
We experience duration and then we pop out on the other side. That's true detachment.
Yeah. And that's when life just kind of flows, when we don't worry about the direction that it's headed in. And I think, too, when we open ourselves to be able to open ourselves to the experience of play, you know,
play is so important.
Exactly. Awesome. So how did you have a shop called Momentum in Clintonville in CBUS for folks who are listening, where you can get,
yes,
go on.
Technically, it's Momentum Natural Health Store.
Okay. Momentum Health Store.
Natural health store.
Natural health store. And it's just a great place. I've been spending a lot of my money there.
We like that.
I'm sure.
We like your
presence
more.
Oh, thank you. That's nice of you to say. This store is a wonderful space. And for folks who are just getting into holistic health, it can be such an important part of, you know, a well-lived life. And I think it's such a journey, too, like the books that you have and things, just opening up to a different way to see the body and the relationship of the body to the mind and to the soul, so that sometimes some of these things that we use might not affect the body specifically just in an isolated way like we're taught in Western culture and in Western medicine, but affect the whole spirit, the whole psyche, the whole system.
That's important because, you know, it you know, a lot of people don't realize that it's as above, so below. you know, anything that happens in this world is a manifestation of ideas and the enthusiasm we have toward those ideas that eventually manifest. And so, you know, when we have an idea, you know, we basically all the cells in our body start cooperating.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I love the way you're saying that. Yeah.
They cooperate. Yeah. Whether idea is something we don't want or something we do want, they still cooperate.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I think that's why that awareness function is so important. So we're aware what it is we're giving energy to, you know.
Well, when one gets in the relaxed sauna, for example, one becomes aware of certain things that we're doing to ourselves that are not serving us. And I have found in life that when you become aware of an idea that you bought at age 28 or whatever, that is not any longer serving us, it's only then it's so easy to just drop the idea. Once we realize it's not serving us.
Absolutely. Or the behavior, the habit, you know. And
yes.
I think that we're so programmed.
But when you see the behavior, that doesn't work for me. I have to find the attitude that the behavior is a manifestation of. And once I find the attitude, I just pluck it. And gone.
Mm-hmm.
Gone the behavior. Gone.
Yeah. So it's like the undercurrent or the core of what's causing the behavior.
Right, exactly.
And then you notice how you can change and how you can shift based on
you
letting
go. You get to choose the thought that you want in your life.
Yeah, I tell in my own intuitive counseling practice, I tell a lot of my clients that because they have this idea that it's going to be this very, very easy journey. And once they, you know, go to counseling or whatever, that they're just going to shift automatically. And I'm like, no, it really, there's a choice place in the process where you have to decide that you want a healthy behavior more than you want what it is you're addicted to, and you have to feed that new healthy place with something else.
Yes, so. That nature abhors a vacuum. So, you know, one way, of course, is to have another idea that supersedes the old idea we no longer value.
Yes, absolutely. So it's Momentum Health Store, is that right? Somewhere
well, Momentum 98 Natural Health Store.
Okay, I'm writing it right now.
3509 North High Street in Columbus and Clintonville.
Yeah,
and of course, the website is momentum98.com.
Yes, I'm typing it right now.
Great.
For this person he's asking.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
We're open seven days a week also.
Yes, yes. And I want you to be able to talk about the sauna, which I have been lucky enough to use and have really been enjoying. I just think it's a wonderful way to create a ritual in your life. It feels very, very powerful to me in that way. Like you get up, you do the sauna. You know, I would, if I had one in my home, I would do it twice a day for sure, and just make it part of a ritual. And you can just feel it cleansing you and getting rid of impurities. It's almost like you can use it for whatever you need it for, to extend your own meditation and that sort of thing. Can you talk a little bit about how people use it, how you use it, what the benefit of it is, how it was created? I guess it's a lot, sorry.
I can do all those things in time. They'll all come out of my mouth.
We've got a little time, so it's good.
Good. Well, basically, a lot of times I'll wake up on a chilly morning because my wife doesn't like to sleep in the heat. So I wake up cold and I just run into the sauna for 30 seconds and boom, in 30 seconds I feel warm and loved and hugged. I mean, not that I wasn't before, but but there's no cold air. And even with your clothes on for 5 minutes, it's incredible. Any time of the day, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine. He says, you know, the relaxed sauna gets rid of negative spiritual energy.
And I think that is what it does, yeah.
And, you know, I was looking and I noticed that the word dross, or I, all of a sudden, after 20, 30 years, I haven't used the word dross, and all of a sudden I realized that the relaxed sauna helps get rid of dross. And that's the same thing as negative spiritual energy.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if you're familiar with the word dross, but it's even...
No, I was going to ask you about it.
I thought it was a Hindu, Indian word, but I even happened to just, you know, there was a Bible around, and I don't usually read it, but I opened it up, and there it talked about dross. So it's even in the...
D-R-O-S-S.
Yeah, it's the mental and emotional junk that is impediment to getting in the way of doing what you want to do.
Awesome.
It stands for inertia. In other words, a lot of times... You feel like doing something, and then
yes.
You know, you're closing your eyes, and then all of a sudden, when you get ready to do it, you just don't have the momentum to get it done.
Yeah,
you don't.
That's why you call it momentum 98.
Because we get rid of inertia. Yes, all the products that we've ever sold, more or less, you know, when you take advantage of the moment, you propel yourself into greatness. And in every moment, there's a wave. There's a wave. There's hundreds of waves. And in every moment, there's a wave. And if you let the wave take you, if you jump onto that wave, it'll take you into greatness. That's how all the great ideas come into this world. Yes.
Go on.
Momentum is that zone that they talk about in sports. When you get into the zone, you almost can't do no wrong. Because
yeah.
you are, you know, the spiritual essence, your intuition is guiding you. It's that wave you jump on, and then you're propelled into greatness. It's just the easiest thing in the world to swim in your own inner knowingness and connectedness. It's the real connection that we all are seeking to get, is that real connection.
Yeah, I love that way of talking about it. I think that it's interesting too. I think that as you age, it's so important to have these relationships with yourself, create these rituals around healing, which a lot of the products that you offer help people to create a healing ritual for themselves, whether it's, you know, some of the supplements, some of the Bach flower remedies, the sauna. It becomes so important because I think when we're younger, we get addicted to, you know, creature comforts and things like that. And then
there
comes a certain point in our life where we have to change up what our go-to is, you know, and we have to find a healthier go-to, one that's more about momentum and more about creation and less about consumption or addiction.
Well, yeah, we want to sort of like, you know, get to listen to our inner voice. And that's
absolutely.
Sometimes difficult because at age 13 you decided you want to do something and you're hell-bent on doing that even though it's not something you want to do now.
Right, exactly. And I think that's that individuation process. It's that idea that Jung talks about the autumn of our life the autumn of our life isn't the same as the spring of our life, you know, that we really do go through a change at a certain stage in our life where we don't want the same things, they don't feed us in the same way, and we really have to find what our core is again and listen in a different way.
Well, I discovered the difference between discipline and self-force when I was about 21, and it's fascinating, the difference. I was talking to my mathematics advisor at Ohio State University, and he gave me permission at that time to spend a year taking other courses at the university instead of mathematics. And at that time, I would come back to do math or not do math. But before that, he was saying you need to discipline yourself to do the math. And that's when I discovered I didn't any longer want to do the math. And
good
that
for
would have
you.
Been, and I that would have been self-force. But if it's something I really, really wanted to do, then that's called discipline.
Yes. Oh, that's lovely. Yes. And the discipline you get at the end of the day after you've done whatever the activity is, you get reinforcement for the journey and the refinement of whatever it is you're studying. Whereas if it's self-force, you start to resent the process and there becomes a separation between what you're supposed to want and what you do want.
I'm really fortunate. I got involved in studying Paul Twitchell in 1971 or 1972 actually, I get the brightest blue stars whenever I get an idea, you know, that's that's good
mm-hmm.
or that's
mm-hmm.
uplifting. You know, like the other day, I mean, I had a bright blue star. It must have been a blob or an object shape that was must have been almost an inch tall and a half inch wide. And that's always, you know, I said, okay, that means the presence of God is with me, or it means the idea that I've plugged into is they're encouraging me. Go for it, you know.
Yeah.
Because sometimes
yeah.
you don't know which ideas to go for and which ones to let go of.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's how, you know, I mean, I just have been very fortunate to have this connection that I assume everyone has, but and we all do, because you get it on your own, and then when you get enough connection, all of a sudden masters appear or teachers appear to help
yeah.
you get more cemented in that connection.
Absolutely.
And it's what life's almost about. It's like what Mork used to do on the Mork and Mindy show. You know,
uh-huh.
at the end of the day, it's nanu, nanu, nanu. He's basically getting his antennas tuned in
yeah.
to that which he is, or to his, you know,
yeah.
to his real you.
Yeah, yeah. I think Jung calls it the principle of synchronicity, and it is these magical happenings that occur and that kind of pull you out of the normal energy and remind you of this higher, more attuned energy, and it starts to feel like this trail of breadcrumbs that's leading somewhere that's magical and exciting and playful, and it really does take you out of the mundane. Absolutely.
Well, as a kid, I used to live for those peak experiences when you
yeah.
solved the math problem that you couldn't solve for hours and hours, and
uh-huh.
then all of a sudden you were able to discover it, and it was like... And when I studied learning theory at Indiana University, where I got my undergraduate degree, I was frustrated and disappointed because the learning theory course I took didn't talk anything about those peak experiences. It you know, communication to me was no longer learning how to pass the butter, but communication was all of a sudden you're on a mission to let others know that they can actually experience something within themselves. Can set them on the path and road to freedom, to spiritual freedom.
Yeah, yeah.
And most people don't know that this is what I really do. I'm just I just masquerade as a merchant.
You're a conduit for that. Yes.
Yeah, I just pretend I'm a merchant. I go to shows.
Awesome,
what is that?
Yeah, I think that's awesome, though. You know that.
I go
that
to shows and I pretend I'm a merchant, and people run into me. They go to all these speakers on spiritual awareness, and they talk to me. And one lady said, "Oh my gosh, I got more in 1 minute from you than all the speakers I went to. I think I was here to meet you."
yeah, but I think it's because you speak out of a place of experience and vulnerability. You share your story. I think so many speakers often are so caught up in this heady notion that they have something to say. You know, and that's like education theory. It's the same kind of an idea. They're going to teach you how to think, as opposed to just sharing their journey. And that invites a desire for this communication, this connection to happen. That isn't about, you know, knowing. It's about just being, you know.
See, I can show you in mathematics, I can prove something to you, but it doesn't mean dork if you don't see the own picture, have the own pictures and have your own realization and see the overview.
Exactly.
You know, I can't prove
exactly.
anything to you. What an illusion that I can prove something to you. On any level,
yeah.
spiritual awareness or anything, I cannot prove anything. You have to prove it yourself, and sometimes
yes.
it's important to doubt it because you don't want to danger yourself by actually believing something and thinking you know it when actually you just believe it.
Exactly.
That's
because
hell.
Yeah, because then you become alive to your own truth, and your own truth can be so unique and so resonant. And I think just by bumping up against, you know, awake others, they have this mirroring experience where, you know, I mean, like I always look at people's pictures and I go, they're really in there, you know, and there are people who are really in there, you know, they're
yeah.
living that life, they're living that experience, they're taking in that information, they're growing and changing in relationship to it in this unique way. And then there are people who are just kind of following what they've been told that they're supposed to do, like that imposter archetype, and they're afraid
yeah.
they're going to get found out.
When I discovered I was a robot... when I was about 23, I discovered that I was like a robot, and that, you know, like my little brother used to say, I reminded him of Mr. Spock on Star Trek. And so when I saw that robot aspect of me, I said, I never want to be that again. I just didn't, you know, I wanted to be real. I wanted to be like the Velveteen Rabbit. I wanted to be a real
bunny. Yeah. Was it hard for you to listen, or did you just do it? Was it just like a shot, like it's time, or was it a struggle?
When I became aware of how mechanicalized most of us are, including me in the past, I just dropped it like a lead balloon.
Go on.
Well, one of my favorite quotes by Paul Twitchell is there's no truth greater than a lie that you believe to be true.
In other
words, if you believe something to be true and you're stubborn, then they can't get through to you.
Right. And I think that's really what people struggle with, you know, is this
I'm always willing to drop a belief if it does not serve me.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that
was from the book The Tiger's Fang, by the way, which is about his spiritual journey that he took.
Now, is this Paul Tillich? Is
Paul Twitchell. Twitchell. He was.
I don't know this
he
name.
He was born in Kentucky, in Paducah, Kentucky, and he was. I don't know. The book is called The Flute of God. Is a good book of his. The Far Country, it's out of print, but, you know, if you look on the internet, you might find it.
Is it fiction or nonfiction?
I would say it's nonfiction.
Okay, awesome, very cool. I will check it out for sure. How do you spell the last name? And I'll put it in the queue here for people who want to look it up.
T-W-I-T-C-H-E-L-L.
Okay. Awesome. Paul Twitchell.
He died in 1971, but he wrote books in the late 60s.
And what field was he in?
In spiritual awareness.
Okay. So does that mean sometimes when people read, they can take information from one field and apply it to another, you know? So I just wanted to make sure he was in spiritual awareness for sure. Awesome. That's awesome. So I find your store so intriguing because you have so many different kinds of products. One of the things that I used was, and I used them kind of to spur me to my own chakra work and this sort of thing, but they offer these glasses in there that are one spectrum, so they're one color, and they're wonderful to just put on those glasses and see everything in that color. And I purchased, I think, green ones at one point.
Yeah, so a lot of people get the whole set of all the nine color therapy, and then they play with them. You know, again, play we talked about is the secret. That's how I learned my math. I just played. And when Cat Stevens said in one of his songs, "Where do the children play?" I didn't hear him right. I thought he said, "Why do the children play?" And I said, "Yes, that's the secret."
No, this was when you were still in the math.
No, I was out of math, but this is about 1973, 74.
And it's, Why Do the Children Play? Awesome.
Yes, and that's the secret of life.
Yeah,
one of them.
Exactly.
One of the different ways to express it.
And it's how you keep from aging, too, is, you know, to keep playing and keep growing and keep changing.
When I was 24... You know, I just had a great time, and when I was 32, I said, I can't believe I still act like a 24-year-old. I think I need to start acting like I'm 35. So I said, okay, I am mature now. I am 35, and when I was 38, I gave up and went back to 24 because it didn't work.
Awesome. Well, I think that brings us to this idea of, like, quantum change and how, like, we really only age in terms of we only age in terms of our idea of what aging is about, but really we have in us this capacity to be all of those different ages, experience life all of those different ways, archetypally.
Well, the relaxed sauna has an incredible effect. See, there's something called your chi, you know, your vital energy is your chi. And when you have when you're in the relaxed sauna, your chi is sort of like activated. It's like they say in Taiwan that being in the relaxed far infrared sauna is like being in the presence of a Qigong master.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, what you do is you know, I was at an acupuncture convention, and I explained to this young lady, I said, what happens is the far infrared energy comes in, and because as you're talking about quantum mechanics or quantum physics, we are particles, you know, you could say,
yes.
And the far infrared energy is a wave. But in reality, the far infrared energy and us, we're both wavicles. And so when you have two waves, you know, like merging into each other, sort of like sex, you have the far infrared energy and our energy, the cells in our body are reverberating. There's a resonance that's created. And that resonance is basically increasing our core temperature of the body about 1 degree. So our temperature goes from 98.6 to about 99.6 degrees. Now, what this does, this, you know, mobilizes the lymphatic system to say, oh, we got to get going. There's a temperature here. And also, because of the vibration, the resonance, the water cells in the body and all the cells of the body, hence, they all start vibrating, and the water cells start shrinking because the two hydrogen molecules and the oxygen molecule, the angle between them, you could say, gets smaller. So if those cells get smaller, the blood cells will get smaller. And if you look at the arteries, they have walls in the arteries, and they have cells, and those cells will get smaller. So the blood vessels will dilate, and the blood cells will get smaller. So instead of minivans going through the blood cells, you've got motorcycles, so it's going to go a lot faster. So the circulation is going to increase, the lymphatic system is increasing, the core temperature is more, and, you know, I went through all this rigmarole explaining to that. And then a minute later, the lady said, she was an acupuncture student, and about a minute or two later, she said, oh, wow, I can feel my chi moving. And I said, all I had to say to her was, it'll move your chi. And so what this does, it mobilizes your body. It mobilizes your body. It creates an impact so that if you've been stuck, like remember we talked about inertia, if you've been stuck in a certain state, and you can get the toxins out of your cells, but you can't get them out of your body, the relaxed sauna gives your body enough oomph, the chi energy, it gives you enough oomph to get the cells not only out of to get the toxins not only out of the cells, but out of the body. And it does it through the skin, of course, through sweating, but it also, surprisingly enough, does it through the urine and the colon and the lungs, and they've tested the urine. People go into the relaxed far infrared sauna. I don't know about other infrared saunas, but the relaxed far infrared sauna is probably at least 2 times more powerful than any other sauna I've seen, including the wooden ones that sell 4 times as much. But what happens is when you go into there, it mobilizes and gives the impact to get the toxins not only out of the cells but out of the body. And the urine has been shown to have 30% and up to 300 or 400% more heavy metals in the urine after being in the sauna for 15 minutes. Because it's and that's what you need to get rid of if sometimes you want to be healthy, because the heavy metals are on your receptor sites. And the receptor sites, because it's got an impediment, and in the body cannot absorb calcium or magnesium or whatever they do, because there's a lead there or there's a mercury in the place. And you got to get that mercury out of it. And so the fishermen in Taiwan or in other countries, when they shake the crab off their fingers, it lets go. And that's where the word chelation comes from. It's from the word claw. So when you're in the presence of the relaxed sauna, it shakes your water molecules, increases your core temperature, mobilizes the lymph system, increases the circulation, and therefore the heavy metals are released out of your cells and actually you now have enough oomph to get it out of the body. And that's why, you know, I get reports about Lyme disease, about cellulite leaving, about arthritis, about diabetes, about diabetic ulcers healing. And the Mayo Clinic recommends far infrared saunas for all of their heart patients, because, yet they say, don't you ever, if you're a heart patient, don't you dare go into a regular sauna. Don't you dare go into a hot tub, because your heart has to race to find an equilibrium between your core temperature of your body and the outside. But because the core temperature of the body is increased using the relaxed far infrared sauna or a far infrared sauna, therefore the heart doesn't have to race, and therefore it's very, very healthy. And actually, people who go into the relaxed far infrared sauna with high blood pressure find that it's improved tremendously.
Uh-huh,
and even with low blood pressure, because it normalizes.
And is it because it's infrared instead of traditional heat? Is that
far infrared, yes, because the far infrared is able to pulsate the water molecules and get your core. The regular saunas and the gyms and all that stuff and in the hotels, that gets the air hot. It doesn't have anything to do with resonating and creating that warmth. Remember I talked about the relaxed sauna is the best we could do to get a step-down version of divine love in a box, because when people go into the relaxed sauna, they almost feel like they're being hugged by God. It's warm. It's not harsh. A hair dryer is harsh. This does not feel like a hair dryer. It does not feel like a space heater. It's warm love. You understand what it's like to be a marshmallow.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I've seen a real reduction in my symptoms since I've been using it, and I've just been using it for maybe 2 weeks. So,
it's
and
amazing.
Not even, yeah, it really is.
What inspired you to get in?
Well, I've been having some issues with candida, and I think that it has to do with I've not been exercising as much. I normally take a water aerobics class twice a week, and I bust ass in that pool, and the water aerobics, it wasn't offered for like a month and a half. So I was doing that, and then also I had bought a juicer, and I was juicing carrot juice every day, and I think I got my sugar, I got too much sugar in my system, and I didn't, you know, move it through because I wasn't exercising enough, and so I got a buildup of sugar.
We just got these new juicers at the store. It's called the Mini Green Juicer. Like the really super juicers, the good ones by TriBest, the cheapest you can find them on the internet is $529, and they're great, great juicers. Well, that same company has a mini juicer that they decided they didn't want to sell because it competes with themselves. So I made a deal, and we have these at the store. And if they mention that they heard this over the air, instead of $350, we'll give them to them for $300.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And how does it differ from other juicers?
Well, it's the it triturates. It's like, you know, it's a wheatgrass juicer. It's like it's a wheatgrass, a parsley, you know, kale and all the thin vegetables, you know, normal juicers can't do anything with. And so basically it's what you call the wheatgrass genre of juicers. And, you know, you can get those for $250 or $300, but they, you know, and I've had them. I've got three or four juicers at my house, but this one works as good as the $600 juicer, but it's a mini juicer.
Awesome.
You know,
that's great. So go get
we just
your
got
juicer
those in.
98. That's awesome. That's really, really cool.
Because
well, yeah,
I got into raw foods, like, you know, I had to get into raw foods and fasting back in 1971 after that Kundalini experience.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and so that's how I got into I almost became a fruitarian. I was like a 95% fruitarian back in 1971, starting August, to maintain my sanity. And I was fasting 2 days a week back then. Like on two particular days, I do, you know, a one-day fast. And then I really got into raw foods a long time ago. I didn't have chocolate for 32 years, and all of a sudden raw chocolate came out, dark raw chocolate. And I finally got seduced into eating dark raw chocolate, and I said, "Oh my gosh, this is good. There's no milk in it. There's no sugar, and I don't feel the pain in my arms from eating sugar, because I ate sugar, you know, usually and instantly I'll feel a pain in my arm and
like
my head
upper arm?
And my
like
head.
Your upper arm,
my upper arm, yeah, and it and in the head it fogs my vision.
Well, because I get that pain in my arm too, and I know that I'm not eating well when I get it.
Exactly.
When I get that pain in my upper arm, I know.
That's learning to listen. Learning to listen.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's good because I had to do all these things I was against.
Yeah.
Because Because Paul Twitchell said it this way. He said, being for or against anything exiles you from the God consciousness state. And that stuck.
Wow.
That stuck. Because whenever you're for or against anything, you're boom. You're doomed. You've exiled yourself from the God consciousness state. That's what I've really put a lot of attention on, neither being for or against. It's, you know, you can be for or against things. It's just being attached to being for. It's the attachment that causes the pain and getting you off target.
Well, it's the attachment that causes the addiction. It's the attachment that causes the necessity to stay with something that isn't working, or to not grow towards something that might work. You know, I think that when you're really open, you know, you don't have any conditions or qualifiers about what it is you're moving towards. You're just like, wow, you know, this feels really interesting or really good, or I'm going to explore this more, instead of, oh, I can't do that because of thus and so and thus and so and thus and so.
That's what purity is all about.
Exactly.
That's what purity is all about. And purity of soul is just so important, because it's the intent you have that is heard by all the great masters within yourself, or the real you hears your intent. And if it's pure, then your wishes, like Jiminy Cricket, when you wish upon a star, your dreams come true. That's when that happens.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely agree with that, for sure.
You know, a lot of people don't realize, like when Paul Twitchell wrote this book, it's funny, I keep on talking about him, but he wrote a book called Dialogues with the Master, which is out of print. But then he said, Reba Zartar, his teacher, was saying, at first there's the pure desire. You know, your pure desire. Then what happens, you get attached to it.
Right, exactly. Then you're trying to repeat it.
Yeah, and fine, you know, it's like finally all the frustration, all the hell we go through, all the whatever, we finally say, it ain't worth it, I don't care.
Right,
that's dropping the attachment. Okay, now once you drop the attachment, that's step number three. Number one, pure desire. Number two, you embrace the attachment. Number three, you say, I'm fed up. You let go of the attachment. Number four, you and your beloved, you and your pure desire get united.
Yeah,
That's the way it works. Everything works that way. Don't believe me. But find your experiences in life. Find the dreams you had as a kid. Find out and notice how they became true. I always dreamed of hitting a home run in the bottom of the ninth inning, you know, and winning the game. And lo and behold, when I was 9, I was up with 2 outs in the bottom of the 7th inning of the last, you know, in a little league game.
Uh-huh.
And bases loaded, we're behind 4-2, and I hit a big, big long fly ball directly to the right fielder who couldn't catch. So he didn't catch it, and I circled the bases, and our team won 6-4. See, your dreams do come true.
Yeah. I think our tendency, too, is to literalize way too much. Like, I do a bunch of dream work, and people get really, really caught up in the idea that, you know,
it's a metaphor.
Tuesday. And right, you have to let go of the details of it and go with the energy of it. And that shifts, you know, that changes. It may not look the same when you actually achieve it than when you put the intention out in the universe for it. And you won't find it if you hang on to all the rigid details of what it was supposed to look like.
I was told many years ago that I would have an experience, and it would take at least 5 years to have that experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and fine, you know, I just accepted, oh, shoot, you know. Well, 28 years later, finally I had the experience. But 5 years, I mean, I didn't know it was Venusian time, you know. I didn't, you know, but that's what I brought back. But basically the message was, you know, I just joked about Venusian time, but I just joked about 5 years is getting your, you know, that's what I could comprehend at the time, to realize it's not going to be tomorrow or next year. And patience is, like, you know, a real virtue. As a matter of fact, patience, you know, like for the life of me, in the book Siddhartha, when Siddhartha comes out of the woods as a traveling sadhu, and he comes to the merchant, and the merchant says, what traits do you have, Siddhartha, that I, a merchant, and you, a traveling sadhu, that I should hire you? And Siddhartha said, well, I can meditate. I can... what else can I do? I can think. Maybe that's the same as meditate. I can meditate, and for some reason I can't remember the other one. And I can fast. He said, I can fast, I can meditate, mm-hmm. and I can wait. Those are the three traits, the three great traits. And for the 20-some years, I could not remember that wait.
I wonder why.
Yeah, I wonder why. because I didn't have that quality within me. I had lost
it. Exactly.
I had to go back to the book to remember it. I said, oh, okay.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Very, very cool. So we just have about 9 more minutes now, but I want to make sure that people know where to get a hold of you and your wonderful products and the sauna.
Yes, the Relax Sauna helps people relax.
Yes.
It's funny, I was at a show, you know, and I asked 3 people in a row, well, how do you feel? Relaxed. How do you feel? Relaxed. How do you feel?
Uh-huh.
Relaxed. And then I looked at the sauna, and there on the front of it says relax. I said, oh, that's why they call it the Relax Sauna.
Exactly, because that's what it does.
And people sleep better. Oh, my gosh. I had a lady, she was saying, you know, Phil, I bought this to get rid of my fibromyalgia, and it worked great, but I have something called restless leg syndrome, but it's worse. It's restless
uh-huh.
body syndrome. She had been on 6 different experimental drugs on 6 different experiments, and none of them worked. And she said, after using the sauna 2-3 weeks, I don't have that problem anymore.
That's wonderful. That's so awesome.
Like I was at the Expo in New York City, and oh my gosh, every show I go to, at least 10 people come up to me and said, oh, I got your sauna last year or 2 years ago, and they rave about how wonderful it is and how much it's done for them health-wise and just spiritually and everything else.
Oh, yeah, I don't doubt it. I'm so delighted that you're letting me go in there and use it. I'm going to go to that sauna now.
we like to offer that because when you taste it,
exactly.
you know that it belongs in your home, and it's just a question of time. Once you decide it belongs in your home, it's a done deal.
Yes, and then you're just patient, right? You wait.
Yes, then you have to be patient.
And then it happens when the time is right.
And do what it
takes. Well, and it's wonderful, too, that you do that, that you work with people on it, because I know that you allow people to take the sauna home and use it for a weekend and pay down the payment that way. And that's really wonderful because they get a sense of what it would be like to have one on a regular basis. And,
oh, yeah.
That's a wonderful, wonderful thing that you do.
The only danger about promoting the Relax Sauna is some people go on the internet and see cheaper ones for $200-$400 and think that they're even almost like the Relax Sauna. They're not even close.
It's really? Like a blend. And how do they
Well, the technology, they just usually have panels of cloth with a hot plate, and believe it or not, they have corrugated plastic in there, and the purpose of the sauna is to get the plastics out of your body, not in.
Right, sure.
And they just don't do what the Relax Sauna does, but they sort of look like it, like a $30 blender looks like a Vitamix that sells for $400,
right.
$500, like
right.
a Chevy Chevette sort of looks like a Mercedes.
Right.
They say it. Well, I saw it online for how dare you try to get this much money from me. But, you know, when you look at the motor of the generator, the emitter of the Relax Sauna, it by itself costs $900.
Uh-huh,
by itself.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And when you look at the panels inside the cheaper saunas, you know, they look like they're worth about $10, $20, $30.
Mm-hmm. So you definitely get what you pay for.
In this case, in the Relax Sauna, you get way more than what you pay for.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I just can see incorporating it into so many different aspects of your life. It's just a wonderful, wonderful, like I said, way to create a ritual around your health and around deepening awareness and all of that.
I tell people, if you have a shower in your house and you have a refrigerator, mm-hmm. and I like to throw in, well, I guess a computer and a cell phone are sort of important, but once you have those things, the next most important thing in your house is the Relax Sauna.
Don't
get a chair, don't get a couch, get the Relax Sauna because, you know, with all the toxins in this world, the air, the water, the soil, you know, into this world comes a solution. And Doris Rapp wrote a book called Our Toxic World. Sharon Winters wrote a book, How to Thrive, for Your Family to Thrive in a Toxic World. Sherry Rogers wrote a book, Detoxify or Die. But both Sharon Winters and Doris Rapp have recommended people use the Relax Fire and Fred sauna.
Mm-hmm.
and many other well-known, famous men and women in the holistic health practitioner have purchased these from us and recommend the Relax Sauna as the best sauna there is, even superior to the $8,000 and $4,000 wooden saunas, because the Relax Sauna works better. And also, you get to keep your head out. It's portable, and you don't have to work. You don't have to wait 10 or 20 or even 35 minutes for it to feel good. Good in 30 seconds.
Very, very cool. Well, we've just got about four more minutes, but I do want people to know that the name of the store is Momentum 98 Natural Health Store, and that is where they can go to see this sauna and even try it out, right, Phil?
Oh, definitely, absolutely. And we're in the heart of Clintonville at the corner of Oakland Park and High.
Awesome, awesome. And the website is?
Momentum98.com.
Great, great.
And we're open 7 days a week till 7 on Monday through Friday until 6 on Saturday and Sunday.
Wonderful. Well, thanks so much for sharing the hour with Inner Voice. Thanks for enlightening us with, you know, your journey and what it looked like to get there and with all the wonderful products in your store.
Well, Inner Voice is the key. Listen to your own heart. Got it.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more.
I certainly enjoyed speaking with you.
Oh, me too. It's always just a pleasure. Have a great evening, Phil, and take care.
Thanks so much for having me on. I'd love to be on again if there's ever a time.
Absolutely. No problem there. Take good care, Phil.
Thanks. Bye now.
Uh-huh. Bye. If you enjoyed the show, please share your picture with Inner Voice so you can follow the show and find updates in the future. And thanks so much for listening, everybody. Whatever you do, go make magic, feel magic, create magic, inspire magic in your world, notice it. Take good care of each other. Bye now.